What's up, my people? It's McCree, the one and only. Any others are counterfeit, so check your pockets. And I'm here with my good cuz.
Becca Boo, Becca Baby, that Queen Beck. You already know who it is. And welcome back to the Fang Podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to all of our episodes, and you can also see all of our beautiful faces at the Fang Podcast. T-H-E-F-A-N-G-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. I was close. Anyway, we're on all social platforms, YouTube, see our faces, anywhere you listen to podcasts to listen to our voices and listen to all the juicy, real-life conversations we try to have with y'all.
With each other as well.
With each other too, yeah.
But thank you for tuning in. As you know, last week, the solar eclipse happened. Right? And it's April. We are 4 days away from my birthday, the biggest Aries, April 19th, okay? And I'm just so happy because this year I decided to do something different. And on April 19th, 2024, I'm going to be dropping a song. Yes, a song as an artist for as a birthday gift for me and as a birthday gift to you all. So I can't wait to share that with you guys. Make sure you follow me on YouTube at It's McCree. I'm finally gonna, you know, branch out and do my own thing when it comes to YouTube, because why not? I think the world deserves to know me in this light, in this new adventure life is about to like bestow onto me, because I'm getting older. I'm really like, we're getting older. Yep. First of all, my mom's birthday, I almost cried, because if she's getting older, that means I'm getting older. And I just can't fathom what life would be. I don't know what tomorrow is. And instead of being in fear, I feel like I'm in excitement, because I'm living it. I don't know what's going to happen. So instead of being scared of tomorrow, I'm kind of excited to see what tomorrow brings.
Embracing tomorrow.
Embracing tomorrow.
Embracing all of the tomorrows.
Yes. Embracing tomorrow. Embracing what life has to offer. Because one thing I have to say, the reason I decided to do a song for my birthday was because it's something I never thought of doing. And I remember as a child, there's this curiosity that you have to try things you've never done before. And even though you may not be good at it, it might spark a passion. Mm-hmm. So I want to do it because it is one of the things life have to offer. And I'm not looking to do it as a form of income. And I think that's what we're missing as we get older, is to still have fun. Like, everything doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm doing this to make money. I started this to make money. I don't want to do this if it's not going to make me money. Why don't we just do things just to try it out, you know?
I feel like society has ingrained in us that we're supposed to go through one path and one path only. Like, you're supposed to go to school, become a lawyer, and you just do lawyer things. Like, why would you want to think about doing music? You're a lawyer. Isn't being a lawyer good enough for you? But it's like, everyone has different faces to themselves, different parts of themselves that need to be expressed. I can be studious and very literal as being a lawyer, but I also like being creative. So maybe I want to dibble dabble in music. Not saying music is going to be like my main profession or my form of income, but it's an avenue that I want to go through, an avenue I want to express, because it's something I'm interested in. It's something I think I might be interested in. So it's like, we have different faces, we have different sides to ourselves, and it's good that you're doing this journey with music. Like you said, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because it's just something you genuinely enjoy. And I think that's an important lesson for other people to listen to, a lesson that people should take in and honestly do for themselves. Because we're both in the working field. We both have 9-to-5 jobs, which does take up a lot of time, but I feel as though my job or what I do for money shouldn't it's be not my your only identity. Focus.
It's, yeah, it's not first my of all, identity. It's not your identity. It's not your only identity.
It's just what I do for money. Like, not to make it sound like that, but it literally is what I do for money to pay my bills and to sustain my life. But yeah, I sustain life. But like, now that I've sustained life, what am I doing with this life? Like, am I just going to keep working for money to sustain life? Like, am I really sustaining my life? Like, I want to explore other avenues. If I want to go, I don't know, learn how to fly a plane, I'm going to get that pilot's license because I can. I'm adult and I'm grown enough to know what I want and go for the things that I want compared to when I was younger, where if I wanted something, I kind of had to get permission first. And it wasn't always a yes or no, I'm going to get it. It's more so if mommy is able to get it, then mommy's going to get it.
So I have an analogy I want to make, right? Mm-hmm. I had to make sure I was using the right vocabulary. but yes, there's an analogy I want to make when it comes to us as people, as human. Mm-hmm. I like to look at myself as a tree, right? As a tree. We start as a seed, right? Or we're a seed and the seed is now growing and now you start to have this foundation. This foundation starts really small, mm-hmm. right? But you have this foundation. The foundation being the trunk of your tree, right? And you kind of have, there's layers to it and it's growing. It's getting taller and taller, but it also starts to branch out. So we're not just one long stick. Mm-hmm. That's not one long trunk. You are allowed to branch out into different parts of the world.
And you're allowed to try something, see if you like it. And if you don't like it, it's fine. What really matters is the fact that you tried. You went for it. You saw something, you wanted it, and you went for it. And although you didn't get it, just the fact that I know within myself I went for it, that's all that matters to me. Can't no one say shit to me. I did that.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is that if you're found after having your foundation, you are allowed to branch out into different things that the world... Yes, that's a key
thing. You need to have your foundation first. The only reason we're able to do X, Y, and Z is because A, B, C through X was taken care of.
Exactly, which is usually, you know, your living, how you live, and your form of income. Mm-hmm. But after that, you're allowed to branch out.
Steady form of income.
Yeah, and then after that, you're allowed to branch out and try all these mm-hmm. things because, let's be for real, some of the things in life that you want to try does require money. Mm-hmm. Things are not free in this life, but nothing is free. Even the air, water is not free.
Everything is an exchange. Like, let's exactly. boil it down to something. It's so simple. We have to give in order to take in every single thing that we do. It don't matter what.
Right.
You got to give money if you want to get some sneakers. You got to give time if you want to pass your exam. You have to give your time and study in order to pass the exam. Give and take, baby.
Yep. So, right now, I'm at this age where it's like, what you do is not your identity. Well, it is not your only identity. And I feel like through life, that's what people are always trying to figure out, what their identity is. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to succumb it to this one thing, and you're not just that, and you're allowed to be more than just that. Because you are a lawyer from 9 to 5 doesn't mean from 5 to 6 you can't be
an artist.
6 to 7 you can't be a dancer. Like, you're allowed to try so many different things, and that's just the beauty of life. The beauty of life and what it has to offer.
I feel like, sorry, were you done? I didn't want
to. No.
I'm sorry.
Girl, you've been cutting me off this entire time. Like, go ahead. What you wanted to say?
I feel like as I'm getting older, that I'm only now able to, like, I have the power to shape my identity. Mm. Like, even though when I was younger, yeah, I knew who I was, this and the third, I had a goal in mind. I was supposed to be a nurse today. If things went to plan, I would be in school for midwifery right now, getting ready to deliver your baby in the next 3, 4, 5 years. Yeah, that probably would have been me, but that's not me right now. I didn't go to school for nursing. The job that I work has absolutely nothing to do in the healthcare field. And at one point, and I'm, everyone goes through this. I had my own struggles where I was like, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen next year? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But at the end of the day, things did work out. You know, I am still blessed that I have a job today. I'm blessed that, like you said, I have that foundation that allows me to do the things that I'm interested in. For example, this podcast. On all the things that me and Mukri do or the things that I do in my personal self, it's because I have that foundation. So where I'm trying to go with this is if there's anyone who's at a point in their lives where they feel like nothing, everything just doesn't seem to be going the right way, nothing is going as planned, you have no, you can't see where your life is going at the moment, it's okay. We all go through that, especially when we're in that transition phase from being a kid to being a young adult and trying to basically get a hold of life and our own independence. It happens to everybody. And it's okay. Like, you'll find your path. Everyone is going to find their path. The path you're on now might not be the path you're going to be on in 10 years, but it's okay. Because like we said, we have different sides to ourselves. We live our life in different chapters. We go through so many different things that can change the plan that we had for our life. But you know what God does? He laughs at anybody with a plan.
Right.
So just stay true to yourself. That's really the best thing I could say. I try to stay true to myself. I learn more about myself every single day. Like I said, my words for this year is being aware and being intentional. I'm just aware of everything that I do throughout the day. Any thoughts, I allow myself to have those thoughts. Like I said previously, our thoughts are real. I'm a real person. My feelings are real. And it's okay for me to think the things that I think. Like, nothing crazy, but yeah.
Yeah. Basically, to wrap that up, you just, I feel like, to wrap it up, you just have to be okay with that the identities that you had for yourself. You have to have some grace with yourself when because you didn't get there, and that's okay. You can extend that grace to yourself, because even though you were told you're going to be great at this, you're going to be this, I've learned that I had to be okay with not being all those things people expected me to be. Mm-hmm. And that's just life. Life has been this untold story, and we don't know the ending. We don't even know the next page. And I've, at this age, and I'm becoming okay with that. Like, I thought at this age I was gonna be married with at least one kid in the picture. And I had to tell myself, yo, it's okay. Cause not getting married is not a sin anyway. So heaven still looks like a good option at the end of of this.
And I thought by 25 I'd be married with kids too. But reflecting on where I am now at 25, I cannot see myself with a kid. There's no way. Because first of all, ain't nobody to make a kid with. Ain't nobody I trust enough to make a kid with. So it's like,
well,
imagine having a kid right now, like in my predicament, the way I'm living my life right now, and then boom, bam, it's a belly over here.
I'm not even gonna
imagine.
Lie.
I'm not even gonna lie.
I'd be like, yo, we work the same job. How you gonna afford a kid? Because I could barely afford myself. Maybe my expenses are too high. But like, it's okay. I'm fine as a woman, right? I'm okay that I haven't reached certain expectations that I was supposed to reach at this age. Don't get me wrong. I still think I'm going to get engaged this year. So it might still happen.
And also, don't let other people's expectation basically plan out your life. Those are their expectations for you. And majority of the time, it's because they didn't get to live their life the way that they probably envisioned. So they're trying to push it down on you. Don't let other people's expectations draw out your life. You are the bus driver, the pilot, the engineer of your life. You dictate where you're going to go and how your future can be.
But, you know, the people in your life that have the most influence on and the ones that basically put these expectations to you are our parents.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Our parents, especially being Nigerian, like, yeah. Come on, once you're out the womb, you have like four careers in front of you. Nurse or doctor, that's medical, right? Engineer, lawyer, maybe even teacher, but they never really want a teacher. They really don't. They really want those top three. Now listen, right?
I don't have a profession in any of those fields. My mom, she really wanted me to be a nurse, but it didn't happen. But guess what? My mom, she still loves me. She is still proud of the job that I have and the things that I'm doing. So even though when I was younger, I never felt like my mom pressured me to be a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse because my mom was a nurse. So I just thought that was really the only plan, the only path for me. And she as well started persuading me, you know, be a nurse is good for you. This and the third.
Good money.
But I'm not a nurse. But my mom still is very much active in my life. She very much shows and expresses her love for me every single day. Like, I don't feel less of as her child. And the only reason why I'm mentioning this is because I watch a lot of movies and TV shows, and I've seen, like, scenarios where the Nigerian mother, she wasn't supportive of the job field that her son chose. In this scenario, her son is a firefighter. She doesn't want her son to be a firefighter. She wants him to be a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. But it wasn't until later on in life they had a conversation and she really sat there and listened to her son and was like, okay, I can understand why you want to be a firefighter, why this is a part of your life. I still love you. I can now accept what it is that you're doing, and you're still my son. Like, I love you. And I say that because, you know, there's a lot of people who, probably, especially in the Nigerian community, I would assume that they aren't doing the job that their parents wants them to do. And even at the grown age of 25, 26, 27, they still feel scared and they can't be open and truthful and honest about what it is that they want to do with their parents. And all of this circles back. Even if you go watch the very first episode of our podcast, we went to college. Yeah, we did what our parents asked. Although we may not be in the fields our parents wanted, we still were able to get the college degree. And now we have the opportunity to do what it is that we want on our own time, on our own dime. And let that be a testimony. Let that be a testimony for anyone who's listening to this episode. If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, let that be a testimony, because we still did what our parents wanted. Our parents still love us, even though we didn't do 100% of what they wanted. But yeah, just stick with that. Let this be a testimony. Let that be a testimony. And you sit with that. Sit with what I just said. Go back to the first episode. Listen to that. Sit with that. And, you know, dissect your own thoughts.
Was that speech or monologue making you emotional?
I have a little bit of congestion, so okay. Like I'm trying to swallow and talk, but like the mucus is there, so.
Okay, because it looked like you were getting very emotional.
I mean, maybe, yeah, but it's really just the congestion. But it is an emotional topic, because even when I speak on that, I can relate to it, because it's part of my own life and my own experience, which is also, like I said, why we started this podcast. It's based on our own life experience. And sharing that with people. And I would hope that people who listen to us, people who don't know us, people who just find us out of the blue and start listening, I would hope that, you know, it opens your mind to, like, you know, some new thoughts. You know, like I said, be aware, be intentional, and just dissect your thoughts and figure out what it is you want to do in life. Because at the end of the day, you are the pilot, the engineer, the driver of your own life, okay? You steer yourself into the right course. Okay, babes?
So just from hearing what you said, it just seems like what in your process, you extended grace onto your parent or your mom. Because when it comes to the expectation that our parents have for us and what they want us to pursue in life, it's because it's not out of ill intention. It's because they want us to be great. Mm-hmm. It's because they know what these fields have to offer financially. And it's a stable career. It's a career that is always going to be needed, is never going to die out. So they do want to see their kids in it. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that, and from hearing what you said, it's important at some point in your lifetime to extend your parents' grace, because what they're trying to mold you into is because of what they've experienced in life, and you're their child. Mm-hmm. And it's also their first time being a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, in their head, especially being Nigerian, I could imagine for my mother that everything that she had to do was because an adult in her life told her she had to do it, and she didn't really have that option. But being raised in America, America gives you that option, or gives your child that option, because children have rights to do things that they want. And like you said, we went ahead and did the things that our parents wanted us to do, but we have to give them some grace. And in giving them grace, they're okay with what you want to pursue, and you're happy in what you're pursuing as well. Because you said that your parents were very supportive. Your mother was very supportive of you, like, not being in the field that you're in. And I had to fight to do what I wanted to do. Like, I threw a tantrum. I was like, what happened? A short story. Basically, I was like around 16, and I do have this medical condition. And at some point, I did have to have surgery for it. And in that time that I had that surgery, you kind of, you know, you're knocked out. You're knocked out, and you don't know when you're going to wake up. First of all, you don't really realize when you knock out, no, right?
Yeah, I know.
But you realize when you wake up. And the amount of pain and suffering that I was in after waking up, I was like, yo, I could have died and not even know it. Right? I could have died and not even know it. So there came a time where it was like just being able to choose what I wanted to wear to prom and to the prom after party. They were telling me what I wanted to wear, I couldn't wear. I was like, first of all, it's more appropriate than what my peers are trying to wear. And you tell me I can't wear it? This simple blue dress, this simple royal blue dress, I can't wear it? And I was like, nah, no way. I started like literally screaming and hollering and crying, because you're taking away a decision. You're taking away my right to choose something for myself. And it's not like, oh, I'm choosing whether I want to do drugs or not. Like, no, we're talking about a dress. And that's when I realized you really have to fight for what you want. But if you're going to fight for what you want, you have to really prove to, you have to show to your parents, like, hey, I said I wanted this, and I'm going to prove to you this is how bad I want it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to work on it, and I'm going to achieve it. And that's when it's like, oh, yeah, I trust my child. Because my child said they're going to do something, and they did it.
They did it. Mm-hmm.
So, we all know, like, what my parents wanted me to be was a nurse or doctor. Let me tell you, from middle school, 6th to 8th grade, I went to Erasmus. I went to STAR. And STAR is a science-based school, science technology school. And after middle school, I was like, oh, I want to go to one of these high schools for, like, dance or acting, theater, entertainment. I was told no. I wasn't even allowed to apply. Wasn't allowed to apply. They were like, no, you're going to be this. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be in the medical field. And you're going to stay in the same school for another 4 years.
I never thought you were going to be in the medical field.
Girl, I don't know why they thought that too.
I never thought. I always thought you'd be a teacher or do something with English. And like, maybe if we're saying doctor, maybe like a speech pathologist, maybe if it was going to go the medical route. But I never, ever thought you was ever going to go in the medical field.
Bro, they know what I did. First of all, I do love science. I do. I very much love science. I'm a big fan of my marine biology. Biology altogether. Sir, I just can't. I just can't. It's always something new in science, man. Like, and after the words be hard to pronounce.
Bro, I couldn't get past chemistry. I had to drop the class.
Oh, no, I loved chemistry.
I couldn't.
I you know what? I loved forensic chemistry, but I also failed chemistry. So, like, but, like, I love science. Don't get me wrong. Like, the science allows you to be curious, and I feel like it nurtured my curiosity. But, like, man, to do it as a career, nah, I'm sorry. You can't get me to do that. But everything you said about, like, English, like, come on now. I really don't see how they didn't see that, bro.
Yeah.
But that's the crazy thing is they just had what they wanted for me.
Yeah.
Not realizing,
you
hey, this is,
for yourself.
Not even that, not realize this is, yo, this is what Mukri's good at.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, Mukri is good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, we should pour into this because Mukri is really good at it. And that would have turned out different. Now, I also was the firstborn, right? So first time parent for real, this is this is their first time parenting, mm-hmm. and we've all said it. We see how parents were with the firstborn, and we see how they are with the lastborn. They not the same parents, yo. They are not the same parents, but it makes sense because the firstborn is their first time. By the third one, they're like, all that shit that I was doing before, I don't gotta do it again. So like, with my sister, with the youngest one. We everybody saw that Aniela could dance, right? Aniela taking dance classes. The dance classes turned into gymnastic classes. The gymnastic classes turned into sports. Bruh, I did not get to do a sport until my senior year. Aniela's been in sports since fourth grade.
Yeah, she an active one.
But that's what I'm trying to say. I as a firstborn, I can give my mother some grace. I can give my father some grace when it comes to how I was raised because I was the first time. Mm-hmm. And they've learned from me, with their experience with me, what they should and should not do with the other one. Now, granted, if my little sister was to come up here and give her own speech, she might say something different about in regards to the parenting. But I'd be like, girl, what you could do, I could not do before. Mm-hmm. There's things that you're doing now that they should just be slapping you. But they don't because they realize, like, yo, we used to really put hands on McCree. And McCree ran away to college and didn't look back. Like, they learned, you know? So I just, like, I used to be really upset and mad at my mother for allowing certain things to happen in my life. But I've come to forgiving her, to forgiving a lot of the adults that are my guardians. I've come to forgiving them because, yo, if it was my first time too, I probably wouldn't know what the fuck to do. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I might just fuck shit up. Like, everything that, and then I just think about it like, yo, you know, like, your mother did some things to you, and you're like, yo, I'm not going to do that with my child. And I'm thinking now. At my age, did it really hurt you what they did? Like, did it really fuck you up as a person, or did it build you as a person? That's a good question to ask. Cause I'm not gonna lie, I used to think I was like, "Yo, like, what's wrong with you?" But nah, nothing's really wrong with me. It's just this is what happened, and this is the person I came out to be. So, was their parenting really bad? Did they really do things to me? To hate them, maybe at the moment, right? At the moment, but like now it's like.
And plus, you know, you were a kid, so we exaggerate things just a little bit. You know, a lot of emotions going through us as a kid. You know, not to say what you felt was invalid or anything, but just even like when you speak about working with children throughout the day and like they just have a whole bunch of different emotions, you never really know what you're gonna get. Something like that. So they're dealing with that, and then it's like, why would you do that? And mommy or daddy's doing something, like, why would you do that? And it's like, it's just exaggerate a little bit. But now you're able to reflect and realize, hey, it wasn't that deep.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't that deep.
Because even now, too, like, okay, as a child, we're like, oh, we're going through all these things emotionally. And because of technology and our access to certain information, bruh, what mothers go through some shit, bro, on their own. Even men don't understand it. Like, women, when they get pregnant, when they have a kid post-mortem,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. And you just like, yo, we're like, oh, she's acting out. Like, no, your mother's going through some shit too.
And I feel like because now we're at that age where we're going to eventually get into, you know, being pregnant and married and all of that stuff, it puts things in perspective. So it's like, okay, I'm trying to think of my mom when she was pregnant or when she was my age. Like, sis was going through a lot. Like, I feel for you, mommy, and I love you. And just know we here. Like, it's cool. But when you had mentioned giving grace with parents, you know, my mom, she's married now. So I see my mom in a different light, in a different way. Because growing up, it's always been me and my mom, no one else. So it's still the same, but it's different. mainly because my mom, she isn't just caring for me. She's caring for my stepdad and my stepbrothers as well. So I had caught myself in a little the other day, but then I put myself back on track, like, hey, it's not really like that. I think, I don't remember exactly what happened, but, like, they were showing compassion towards my mom. And I was like, oh, my mom has other people that love her. And I was like, wait, but I love her. I'm like, wait, no, more than one person can love my mom. It's okay. And then I had to catch myself, and I'm like, wait, because it's not just me and my mom anymore. Like, there's more people in our family. There's more people that I care for as well. There's more people that she cares for as well. So it's kind of like I'm seeing my mom more softer in a way. Yo. I'm seeing her more softer. It's kind of like she's in her soft girl era now.
Yo.
And it's just like an eye-opening thing. Because, like I said, I've never seen my mom this way. Bro. It's always been my mom as, you know, head honcho.
Head of the household.
She's the boss. Yep. Whatever she says goes. That's
you
want
to run with the big boys? Like,
literally.
I'm so happy you said that because I'm not going to lie. I started looking at your mom in a different light, too. I did. Because I'm like, yo, I'm not going to lie. I was like, damn, going to Dami House feel different. Cause
different,
it's
right?
Mad different. It's cause different. First of all, bro, at least when it came to like being in your house or what your house was for us, it was at the most kids you saw in that house was me, you, and Shola. Yep. And I'm like, yo.
Bro, it's the whole village in there.
Bro, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, this feels weird. It feels different. First of all, I'm like, damn. My mom acting a little bit different too. She this is not the same Dami mom. Sometimes you do see the old one come out a little bit. She do come out a little bit.
Yeah, like we said, she blacked she got on them multiple
one.
Sides.
She blacked on them one day. I was like, yeah, that's the lady I know.
She but, all got multiple sides. She gonna bring it out if she needs to, but it's like she can let that guard down a bit because it's not just her.
Right.
It's not just her. She can let the guard down. She can be softer. She can be calm. She can relax and just lay, you know, she can chill out.
Bro, first of all, she's dealing with all boys now.
That's another thing.
Our household, our whole lives,
girl,
there's only been at least one to probably three boys in a room, with about 20 girls.
Now minimum is three boys no matter where we go.
Yo.
No matter where we go.
And that alone is different because you do raise boys differently than you raise women.
Yes.
I mean, girls, you do. Oh my God, bro. I thought I was the only one.
I'd be like, I swear, I feel like the boys get babied.
You think they're getting babied?
I feel like they get babied.
You know?
I feel like they get babied.
No, but you know, you have to remember that this is your mom, this is not her first time being a parent anymore. So all the shit that she did with you, she ain't gonna do with them because she's like, nah, I don't gotta do that. There's do's and don'ts to this right now. So they're not getting babied, they're just getting a different parent. And this different parent does not feel like they need to be as harsh as they were the first time. Because I'm not going to lie, with the first kid, you kind of have to be on it because you're like, you're going to be great. You're meant to be the president. Don't fuck up.
Not the president.
You're like, don't fuck up. But like, even just tying in back to our childhood, Disney just never ceases to amaze me. Why Disney came out with a show called Iwaju?
That show? Just based off the graphics alone and how real it is compared to how it is in Nigeria, chef's kiss. You guys really hit the nail with that. Bro, when the show started playing and you see, like, the credits, like, the producer, executive producer, Olufumilayo, Olukunle, I was like, hey, all these names, I can, what? Like, in the beginning scene, she was making Puff Puff. I would have never.
Bro, I love that.
Animated Puff Puff? Where they do that at?
No, and it's. Disney don't realize, and the creators of the show, or they probably even do realize, that they did not touch literally just any hearts. You touched the hearts of Nigerian.
Multiple generations.
Of Nigerian born Americans. Because when I think about cartoon and animations, I think about what we were absorbing as children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had SpongeBob, we had Cat and Dog, we had all these different shows, and which centered around American culture. And then we have this one show that we can have access to in America
mm-hmm.
that is based on the culture that we have in our household.
Do you know how beautiful it was watching that show? I wish I could have watched something like that when I was younger. Maybe I would like cartoons.
Maybe you would like being Nigerian.
That's another thing, because
maybe they wouldn't be have caught. They wouldn't have been calling us African booty scratchers.
Literally, bro. I'm just saying. Like, literally, and it's funny because on the show there was a scene where they're leaving Lekki, going onto the mainland, and there's traffic. And the guy's like, ah, how will we get to the airport now? All this traffic. Lagos, wahala, something like that. And then the car, it turns into like a flying car and it goes up in the air and he's able to drive. But as he's driving in the air, you still have those people coming to you. Hey, come by, Agigi, bread, candy, come, whatever you want, pop up, I have it for you. And I'm like, that's hilarious. Like,
literally, it was beautiful to see future. We had a futuristic Nigeria, but it didn't lose the Nigerian culture, qualities. It still had that in a futuristic manner. And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, the show is based off of futuristic Nigeria.
Yeah, so it's not really what Nigeria is. No. But it technically, it's what Nigeria always had the potential
to be. I feel like that could, bro, when they say Africa is like the kingdom, like the place of royalty where we're originally from. Imagine Nigeria looking like how it looks in that show. Like, I can actually see it if money wasn't as corrupt as it is now.
Right.
Who knows? Because we're so smart. All the technology that Nigeria actually studies and can keep in here, you'd be surprised.
Man, nah, that show, they really did a big one with that one. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm just going to put this out there. You know, since I have my theater my degree in theater, and I do have, you know, some skills in my arsenal. I think that's the right term. I hope to one day voice act for referral. Because just anybody who's looking for Nigerian American that can still, you know, read and understand Yoruba small, come and find me. Because I really want to try voice acting. Like, Mofeso Yoruba to do for you. Like, for you. Like, I want to, like, if you need someone to do Yoruba English, call me. Like, I'm in tune with my culture. Because when I saw it, I was like, yo. When I say voice acting, this is the kind of stuff I want to do it for. The Nigerian-American kind of accent where it's just, it's me.
Listen, representation really does matter.
It does.
It matters. And like I said before, imagine watching this show when I was younger. I probably would have been way more prouder to be Nigerian, to be African when I was younger. Because African booty scratcher, like, nobody really wanted, at least for me, I wasn't really like, I'm African, I'm this, I'm that.
I was
just keeping it quiet to the side. It wasn't until maybe like high school when I started being more open with being Nigerian, but when I had watched the show, just a quick little side note, I was watching it with my stepdad, stepbrothers, and my mom. And there was a scene where the guy was speaking English, but then, you know, he started speaking Pidgin and, like, and Yoruba as well. And I remember my stepdad, he was like, eh, this is real. Wow, this is right. This is a good show. I was like, yes. I wanted to watch it, but I wanted everyone to, because I started watching on my own, like, the first 10 minutes. I was like, no, I need to watch this with everybody, because I know everyone is going to love this. They're going to have their input. I went to the living room. I put it on. We was all watching it. Everybody was in tune.
I love that.
In tune.
That, and that's just what it's supposed to be. So now, I just want to segue into, like, we're saying we're proud to be Nigerian, right? I don't know how to feel about Wizkid going online saying he's not Afro anything, bitch. What you? I want to know the backstory to that, because you are an Afro beats artist. Yeah, no. Like, you are, at least you were an Afrobeats artist, and because of the kind of music you made, he got this access to, you know, this access into American entertainment, and now you're deeply rooted in American entertainment, and now you come online and saying you're not Afro anything. And what really baffled me was that, and on his story, he really wrote, like, oh, if you're expecting, like, basically, if his next album to be anything like Pakuromo, then we shouldn't listen to it. Like, delete him, unfollow him, And it's just like, yo, you're talking, you know, like, those are your OG fans, right? Why are you talking like that? And it really just baffled me because there's this growth in Nigerian culture, influence being in other parts of the world. And for Wizkid to say that is like, why are you trying to disconnect? Like, now I want to kind of be Angel's advocate. Was he saying it to just tell people, like, hey, I'm not just this one genre of music. I'm versatile. Or was he saying it to be disrespectful?
I wouldn't say disrespectful, but I feel like everyone is so big on Afrobeats right now. And that is the music he made. Like, people know you for Afrobeats. That's how you got your start in the music industry. That's how you became an international sensation. Like, that's how people know you, because you're from Nigeria.
Let's not talk about him like he's actually here. He or him, not you.
He is an international sensation, and that's how people know him, because he started off making Afrobeats. Now, I could understand you wanting to, like, not... I could understand he not wanting to associate and be 100% he is an Afrobeats artist. I get that. Not a lot of people like to be categorized. It's like the example I gave before. Just because I'm a lawyer doesn't mean I can't be an artist, I can't be a dancer, I can't do that. It makes sense. My thing is, it's kind of like, people know you for Afrobeats, so you can't tell people, I'm not Afro anything. Like, that's not what I do. That's not me. Because it's like, I mean, yes, that's how people know you. Like, no matter what, that's how people know him. No matter what, first impressions, like, it sticks. Like, you are an Afrobeats artist. There are other people who are rappers. There are other people who are singers, but they cross. Like, Beyonce, she's doing country music now. We're going to say she's no longer a pop artist. She's just a country artist. Like, no, she's an artist in general. Like, you dibble and dabble in different things. Now, I feel like he probably just came out and expressed it the wrong way.
I was going to say, because his delivery could have been better.
It's giving you don't fuck. It's giving he doesn't fuck with Afrobeats anymore. He wants to do pop and trap and drill and all this other stuff. And he wants to be known for that, not necessarily what he's already known for. And it's kind of like, you can't, with your fan base, you can't expect them to just flip a switch and not associate you with that. And then for him to come at the people saying, I'm not an Afro nothing, bitch.
That is crazy.
Like, whoa, bro. And it's kind of like the example you had said before. When people leave Nigeria and they go to London or they go to the UK,
they don't want
to necessarily want to be associated with Nigeria. They don't necessarily to put money back into the economy or just do anything in Nigeria. They want to stay overseas and stay there.
Right. And it trickles down into generations, because then you have people that they know that they're Nigerian, right? But they don't know how to pronounce their name. Like, bro. It's just like, it's okay to feel how you feel, but it doesn't mean you have to disassociate.
And forget where you came from.
Because it is still part of your identity, because it was part of your upbringing. It's part of your foundation. So I don't know how I really feel now about Wizkid. I'm not even really a Wizkid fan. It's Burna Boy.
DeVito.
It's Burna Boy. To the death of me. Okay? I'm Team Burna Boy. But, like, I just wish that he didn't say that, because he has an influence on our community. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that people like him in their position are mindful of the things that they say, because even though you look at yourself like, I'm an individual, I can make my own choices, where you're at is going to trickle down, and other people might start to take on your viewpoints because of your delivery. You know, like, say what you have to say, but you could do it respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully.
You could do it without people feeling like people that don't want to associate with Afrobeats anymore, they don't have to deliver it the same way he did. And that's just all my thought. Like, Wizkid, you could be whatever you want, baby. You can do whatever you like. But let's at least, if you're going to disassociate, if he is going to disassociate himself with his something that is part of his identity, at least do it with some grace. Not like that. I'm not Afro.
That's gonna hurt me in the chest. I'm not an Afro nothing, bitch.
Afro anything, bitch. Like, that was crazy. But you know what? This is the Fang Podcast. Okay, first American Nigerian generation, where we embrace all parts of our identity. Okay? So if you are on that same type of timing as we are, where we're acknowledging and loving all parts of ourselves, make sure to subscribe and follow us on all platforms. And don't be afraid to comment. Share your opinion. We will respond eventually. So share your thoughts. I'm Mukri, the one and only. My birthday's coming up. Make sure you're following me on YouTube, because that's where I'm going to drop my song for my birthday as my gift to you and to us. Well, to you and me. And you can go ahead and follow my girl,
That Queen Beck, on all social platforms. It's your girl, Becca Baby, Becca Boo. We do want to thank you for tuning into this episode of the Fang Podcast with us. Don't forget, you can catch all of our episodes on YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces, or if you just want to hear our voices, we are wherever you can listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.